Namaste in La Ketch, people. How are y'all doing? Welcome back to another episode of Practical Spiritual Advice by Infinite You, which is me, which is you, because we are all infinite. So my name is Harold Ahonow. I'm going to be your host. I'm a practical spiritual advisor and community activist in the city of San Antonio, Texas. It is going to be the new Mecca for spiritual awareness, awakeningness. It is X marks the spot. And this podcast is basically my way of bringing us to a current time and place where we get to come together and unite as a human species and co-create heaven on earth. So if you stay tuned here and just follow along by paying attention, this is going to be absolutely free for you. And what we're doing is just we're painting a picture of where we have an opportunity to go. It is my belief through, you know, what I have discovered with my spiritual awakening. And if you want the details on that, the episode before this one, episode 3, is Who Am I? And so that is the answer to the question of who you're listening to if you've never met me in person. And you know, what is my motive here? What are my intentions and what drives me? So, you know, you get a little view or listen to of that. And this is a storytelling event, this podcast, this life of ours. And so through this means, this medium, I chose to start off with right about when I had my spiritual awakening, and then my partner and my our trip to Sedona on 11/11/11, and then so that is episode 1. And I do apologize; we were still working on you know, this podcast, and the volume is super low, so you're gonna have to turn it up. Put on some headphones. Just remember that you turned it up, and don't freak yourself out when you put on some music and it, you know, blows your eardrums out. So here we go. Let's get into it. I do want to cover up, you know, go over some things that I didn't have the exact dates for the last storytelling episode, which was the Enchanted Rock Activation. And, you know, so I highly advise going to the, you know, the other episodes here, listening to them and getting caught up. So one of the things was when we did the Ohm in the Dome at Austin. And that date was 11/11/2012, which is a year to the date of when we were in Sedona on 11/11/11. So activations, synchronicities, and hear the story of what happened at Ohm in the Dome inside the Capitol building in Austin. And then for our Enchanted Rock activation, the date that I wanted to clarify on that is 11/13/12. 11/13/12, Enchanted Rock is a sacred site that not too many people know about, connected to telluric ley lines. That's water ley lines that are connected to Sedona, as well as the Mayan ruins and the Mayan people. All right, so let's skip. What else we got here? So I guess right where we're leaving off is the Enchanted Rock activation. And, you know, soon after we are in the 12/21/12 end of the Mayan calendar, mass consciousness. A lot of people are talking about it. There's a buzz going everywhere. If you can sit back and remember the feel of what life was like, and, you know, the end of the world, the prophecies, all the movies, everything that was coming out at that time, you know, all the buzz, and just kind of, you know, take yourself back and see what that energy was. And so you can take what that was, what you're feeling, and then kind of imprint it over what, you know, what I was going through with my family and, you know, these other activations that were happening around me. So, you know, around this time, I was thinking today, I was like, man, what are my dates? I'm trying to like timeline all this stuff and where was I living? And oh shit, that's when this happened or that happened. So one of the things that I discovered thinking back today was the house that we were living in. It had to be right around, you know, late November, early December, late December that we discovered that the person that lived in the house before us had hung himself and died 2 months before we moved into this house. And the way that we found out was not by the owner of the house, but was 2 months after we were living in the house that our neighbors finally came and said, hey, we weren't supposed to tell you and he didn't want us to, but this is what happened and this is how we found out. And so the story goes, the man would argue with his wife a lot, and then I guess they separated, and he had mental issues and was on medication. And, you know, the day of, the door was open, music was playing, and they just thought he was in and out doing things. And they go to the grocery store, come back, put the groceries in, and as they're coming out to get another bag of groceries, the husband looks to the wife. Which is where their entrance, it used to be the garage. And so they converted it into an extra living room leading into their kitchen. And so that's where they go out of. And so this, mind you, is like facing the side of our house. And so you can kind of see the backyard and the front yard and the side of the house. That's your vantage point coming out of their front, their door, their main entrance door. And so as the husband comes out, he, you know, from, let's see if I can remember what he says, but I think he said something like, oh, the son of a bitch did it, you know, or something like that. Like, you know, he saw the guy hanging from the tree, and the wife's like, what? And she did what? And she comes out and he's like, look over there. And she looks and just like, oh my goodness, she kind of freaks out. And, you know, they call the ambulance, all this stuff. And so that's what they told me, you know, this guy had hung himself from the tree in our backyard, and she and the husband are Reiki masters. You know, I didn't realize that we moved into this house that we were moving next to Reiki masters that knew how to work with energy. And she had been seeing spirits her whole life. And she explained to me that the person that hung himself in the house that we're now living in had come into her house, I think two, maybe three times, and each time was lighter and lighter. And she feels it was also because she would communicate and talk to him and walk around the property that we were living at now and saged it three times. She saged it. And she would tell him that he's no longer here in the physical. This is what he did. He took his life. And that, you know, to go forth to get his counseling and find out what his next plans are, right? And so I go back into the house and tell my partner, and she starts, I'm going to be hitting the bowl just a little bit here, the heart chakra bowl. So if you hear a little bit of a ringing, that is me. And so my partner is freaking out about this newfound information that the guy that lived there had killed himself, had unalived himself, whatever you want to call it. It's my podcast. He hung himself. He's dead. She was like, oh my God, I wonder if he's here, blah, blah, blah. And I didn't get any feeling of that ever, like any presence of anything extra in the house. And so what I did is I contacted my spiritual awakener, Joni Isinger, who's now like a friend that I, you know, communicate with every once in a while, catch up with. She does free readings for me, like, hey, this is what's going on. And, you know, so we've always had this like good relationship. And so I reach out to her and I'm like, hey, I just found this out. Like, yo, what's going on? Do you get any readings? Like, Amber's freaking out. She wants to move out of the house now. We've only been in here 2 months. Like, this is not good. This is not fun. And so she's like, nope, he's not there. Where is he? Oh, okay, there he is. He's getting counseling. He's you know, in a place, like being told what this, and basically described what the neighbor had told me she had done. And I didn't tell her what the neighbor told me completely. I said, you know, I wanted to leave her out of the loop on what she had said to see if there was some validating factors that I could pick up there. And I did, and they were immediate. And so she proceeds to tell me that the house is actually a portal. And so I'm like, all right, well, that's okay. Portal. Well, shit, good or bad? Well, I don't get that, Harold. I just get that it's a portal. And I'm like, well, portals are doorways. I guess I just have to put my own energy here. I'm here for a reason. Family's here for a reason to, like, you know, if energy's going to pass through here, we want it to pass through in the most coherent, harmonic way, right? And towards love, light, abundance, freedom. And because that's the energy that I aim to be, is all of those. So, you know, when you put that, I mean, that's really what it is when it's this quantum game for me, is showing up with the awareness that I am the energy field that creates the balance. And if it is not a balance, then that means I'm not supposed to be there. You know, that means whatever happens later on after I leave will do its thing. Because, you know, I'm sure some people out there have seen the after effects of showing up in a room, saying or doing something or being something in the room, and then, you know, leaving and then finding out, like, oh, after you left, blah, 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 so-and-so said this, then this, then there was an argument, or then everybody laughed and everybody is like, man, that person's so cool. Like, whatever it was, like, you can cause effects that resonate, you know, potentially long after, and, you know, almost quantify, am I even saying the word right? Quantifiably? Anyway, like, it can be picked up. And that's what I believe, like, residual is like ghost. And you're interacting with a piece of their essence and not the whole essence. And you know, it all depends when that being wants to integrate back with that part and, like, cool, pull all their parts back together, not leave little residual pieces of themselves everywhere. I don't know. It's all theories, right? These are theories. So, anyway, let's see. Where are we at? We're in the house. It's a portal. Talking to Joni. Get off the phone. Like, this is crazy now. Let me go tell my partner that, you know, let me go tell Amber that, hey, we're okay. The house is going to be fine. And so, I do my best to calm her down. We don't move out of the house. And, you know, we have these, you know, for the most part, the experiences that we've had have not been so, like, ghost and paranormal. They would be, to me, defined, and I'll talk more about this, right, as we get through the podcast, but, you know, you'll know what I'm speaking of with this explanation. They've been more of a quantum dynamic relationship of awareness, if that makes sense. When you get to know that there are knobs and control factors and, you know, particular oscillations or frequencies that you can swim with that put you in a current of creation and magic and bliss, as opposed to slipping into some currents that are incoherent, not fun, throw you around, someone else is ruling your life, it seems, you know, all these different things. Those are the different oscillations and frequencies that we play within. And so that's really what we're talking about here. That's what Tesla was talking about. Understanding the secrets of the universe would be understanding, you know, frequencies, vibration and sound or something like that, right? I'm paraphrasing and I'm way off. But at the end of the day, this is what we're doing. And so me personally telling these stories, and I'll do this just about every time when we get on here, because I need to hit it home. Me being able to tell these stories is not just helping the listener, but this is helping me, because I get to dive into an old tone of mine, an old frequency, an old play or soundtrack, right? Like, put, you know, different parts of your life for me personally, this is me. Now, as I gain more awareness, not everybody thinks like me and not everybody has the same like imagination as I do. So I'm just saying for me, diving back into some of my memories feel like particular soundtracks. Because I'm 45 now, so I have 80s soundtracks in there. I've got some 70s. I've got, some like gangster rap soundtrack period in my life. I've got rock and roll soundtrack. I got a whole like a drug addiction soundtrack period in my life. I've got a married soundtrack. Those are all different chapters, if you will, in life. And so when you can dive into those things with another set of eyes, your own eyes, but like a different perspective, then, you get this state of awareness and you can even start looking at, things that happened maybe with other people that play an important part in your life now or at some other time, whether before or after, whatever experience we're talking about now, and just going all around here. So let's just fly like a butterfly on this one. But you get to be that quantum being by revisiting yourself and, looking at yourself as the observer in whatever soundtrack that you were playing out at that time. And, not to be like super judgy of yourself, but really just being in awe of yourself as you were maneuvering through all the ups and downs. And, so that's what we're doing here is we're just going on these rides, with my story and, eventually Infinite You and what I do and what this business, because Infinite You is much more than just a podcast. It's my business. So I'm a practical spiritual advisor, right? And so I want to give the most tangible, practical applications of this information and not just be completely woo-woo. And, what I'm saying is that there are things that you can do tangibly, breath work, a lot of it really is just a state of awareness. But when you put yourself into these, like when you do the breath work and you get the oxygen, like really be almost like being forced into your blood and then cycled through because now your heart rate is up, you're doing these physical, tangible things to create energetic activations, right? So on an energetic wavelength, when your cardiovascular is moving more, it's sending out a higher oscillation pulse. Your heart is pulsing faster. So it's literally creating a wave, a shock wave, a resonant wave, an alchemical tone. And so when you combine it with breath, with music, with your intention, with the movement, dance, and all these things, that is, to me, it's some of the most beautiful ways that I've been able to create shifts in my world that come back to me. And it's because I danced and just enjoyed being in the present moment, in the now moment. Right. So a lot of these, gurus and stuff talk about this and, getting your childlike state back and everything. And, some people do it in many different ways. As a child, I used to imagine myself with the toys that I wanted and I would, almost like force myself to take it into the dream state where I'm like, this is what I'm focused on before I go to sleep. I want to have a fucking, what was it for a long time? It was like a go-kart. It was a go-kart, but it wasn't a go-kart. It was something that was like a miniature car. Right. And I'm like, yo, I'm a small dude. I'm a child. So, but I want to drive on the streets. Yo, I'll obey all the signs. Like, I'm like, yo, beep, beep. I'm here too. Just in a smaller vehicle. That's what I would imagine. And, that was my world. And, with everything, like, anything that's coming up in my life, like I sit and I focus on it. And that's me, like discovering last night. With Amber, she really likes numbers and dates and stuff and look at a calendar and like know when the timelines are. That's more going to solidify how that thing is created for her. And, that's how we operate as a unit, you know, a synergistic unit together. And that is why the business is named Infinite You. This goes eventually from just being my story to being our story. And, you know, we have two solar eclipses that are crisscrossing Texas. And so I'm going to hurry up and kind of fast forward through the storytelling, because the first one is an annular Ring of Fire eclipse, and we're doing a big deal here in San Antonio. And I want y'all to know how this whole thing wraps up and gets to this point here pretty soon here. I don't want to keep you on pins and needles. So I'm going to get you through the Mayan December 21st into the calendar. And then we're going to probably get all the way through 2014. And I'm going to end there. And I think that should take another, you know, I got a knot in my back that came in last night and said, whomp. So we're pushing a lot of energy. It feels like I got my angel wings wanting to pop out of my back. So let's take this ride. So the next part of the story is, you know, we know that the house is a portal, right? So let's just take everything that I say as truth. And let's just, you know, roll with me on that and be like, all right, this guy, whatever he's experiencing, it's his truth. And if we are, like I say, in a holographic matrix, then absolutely everything that I'm speaking is truth. And absolutely everything that you speak is truth. That's why your world could be a round globe earth and mine can be a flat dome, whatever. And we all get to pick and choose what kind of world we want to live in. And, you know, that's why it's so important. I get to the end of all of these stories to tell you why that is so important as to where we are going for our future, where why we have an opportunity to set the tone for the next set of programs for us to operate as a collective within. I think for the most part, a bunch of us are kind of done with the way that things have been operating, and we could really use a higher, more synergistic, harmonic, blissful way of being. So, I was living in a portal, and I was just discovering this organite making, you know, art and, you know, amplifying energy signatures of crystals. I don't want to get too much into what organite is, but it's something that is a quantum tech kind of device. And you can make it into pyramids, discs, pendants. And pendants was my main thing that I was wanting to make. And that's because I was learning from Jeremy Yaw's Orgone Vortex, the owner of Orgone Vortex, my soul brother, and, you know, started hanging out with him more, going to the events that he would vend at. And every time he'd come into town, I'd try to go by and see him at least one of the times he'd come in. I think he was coming in town like 2 to 3 times a month on the weekends to vend on a Sunday. And so I would, you know, try to go see him, his wife, his children, and, you know, bring the kids by and stuff like that. And so, you know, that was always like a cool thing that we were able to do. And then I started teaching my own class at Unlimited Thought, Life Enrichment Center bookstore, called Understanding the Shift. And so I'm activating myself with action steps as I show up to support, people that were doing good things and that were like-minded. I mean, I can go over there and talk to Yaz about all kinds of stuff and hear his stories. And, you know, we had, you know, similar people that weren't in our vicinity that we were connected to, and, you know, all these amazing things that were going on all around us. And, you know, for the Mayan, end of the Mayan calendar, discovering the house as a portal, knowing that I'm in it, and, you know, the people around me, there wasn't a lot of like, oh, we're going to do this. And I didn't do anything. Like, I didn't go to a festival. I didn't go to any event for that date. I think it fell on a weekday, if I'm not mistaken. And some of the people I talked to are like, yeah, we're just going to be around and focus on, you know, being the best version and this and that. I'm like, man, nobody's doing anything like a dance, or, you know, there was nothing really going on that in my you know, from my perspective, I'm sure there was a lot of things going on all over and I just wasn't tapped into it. And that's kind of what it's going to feel like for a lot of people as they go through their spiritual awakening. You're going to think that a lot of these things are way separate from you and other people experience them. And then eventually you're going to find out that all those things were existing around you the whole fucking time. You just weren't tapped into the right crowd, the right people, or, and I won't say right. I'm just saying, like, if that's what you're into exactly what you needed to be into at whatever time you needed to be into it. When you get into these quantum mechanics, you get to oscillate yourself into another plane of existence that it resonates different, and the things that your heart's desire become closer to you. You're magnetizing them to be more closer to your center. And I can only tell you from experience where I'm at now and the tribe and the people that I have around me now, it's absolutely amazing. And I'm like, wow, I really did call in a lot of people and I'm not even done yet. So we're in a portal, and this December 21st, 2012 experience of maybe, I don't even remember exactly what I did. I bet I can go on my Facebook and find out what I did that day. But it was probably just a lot of heavy meditation and maybe a little bit of breath work and hanging out with the family or whatnot. Intention, just focus on wanting to see. You know, my thing is always, you know, since my awakening and Sedona trip and these cities of light as the mission to build them and be a part of this thing that comes together, I started diving into all that that was. So, you know, 2012, 2013 was, maybe that was my own activation. We were learning about Earth ships. And if you don't know what an Earth ship is, I'll touch on that for a second, but it's a way to turn, you know, garbage and trash, that stuff that's being thrown away, like tires, cans, bottles, into a home that is more sustainable and eco-friendly, that has a zero carbon footprint, that you grow your own food in, you harvest the water, you store it, you're not tapped into water, electricity, sewage. Your sewage is on your property. It's amazing. So look up Garbage Warrior, Earthships, Michael Reynolds, any of those things. But that's what I was heavy into: Earthships, and then food, health. So that was like gardening and, you know, things like that. Let's see, I wrote some stuff down here. Oh yeah, let's see. Earthships. Also, I was learning some about energy devices, and so HHO generators, that's hydrogen, turning water into hydrogen and allowing that to combust more for a more cleaner burn with your gasoline engine. So it helps lower the emissions by like 85-90%, and cools the engine and also ups the horsepower, as well as drops the gains about 30% more gas fuel efficiency. And I think there's ways of tuning this thing in to completely take over your gasoline engine, but that's to be experimented with. And I know there's people out there that have done this. And so I was experimenting with that, and I bought, I don't even remember what year I bought them, but I did buy wholesale I think it was like 10 HHO generators that are produced by a guy in Tennessee. Oh shit, he's in Tennessee. I wonder where he's at, if he was by that 2017. Anyway, Rich Waddell. And this dude's like a freedom guy, and he's been selling these and making these things. And I think he's doing like hemp production and crop stuff like that in Tennessee. But he's a cool dude. I found him online. Excuse me. So HHO generators, you add to your engine, your car engine, truck engine, and it helps with the fuel efficiency. All right. And then the other thing I was getting into, even before I had my awakening, was like network marketing. That had come in and was just showing me more of the stuff that I didn't like to pay attention to. It was financing, or like finances, money, and how it moves and how we can get it to move more. And so that was a thing that I got turned on to early on, was, you know, something that people are focused on is money, and money sits in the few's hands and only moves when they want it to move. And, so it's a stagnant energy signature as it stands right now. And once I get it, a bunch of us get in our hands, the right people to get in our hands, we're going to spend it. We're going to pay people for their art, for their services, their labor, you know, whatever they have, and the money will start moving, and those people will go out and buy goods and this, that, and the other. And so there's a way of getting the money to be more of a higher vibration, higher frequency, thing altogether. And once that happens, it gets to a point where it completely integrates with us, where we no longer need it. And all of our, what we offer as a being, our journey, our experiences, our words, like all that stuff, becomes our worth. And that's more of like a spiritual worth. I believe with everything that I've been learning and where we're going, we will have heaven on earth, and we will not need to pay for anything, all the things that are needed, like water, food, shelter, all those things, electricity or whatever, energy, all those things will be, inherently available in abundance and no having to work for it. So when we get to that state, we don't necessarily need like money to survive and having to do all these other things for other people just to get a piece of paper or coin or whatever. So those are just a few of the things that I was diving into, other than the whole esoteric chakras, meditation, mudras, sound, energy work, gridding, the different stories, the gods, the ETs, whistleblowers, like all this stuff flooding in. It was a lot. And so 2013 was a lot of information and a lot of, I don't want to call it false hope anymore. Everything serves its purpose. But there was a lot of underground information talking about that the white hats, the white dragons were going to turn the guns on, the bad guys. And that we would see 3 days of darkness and the banks would be shut down as we do a complete reset. And then this thing called Nasara or Jasara was going to spit out funds from all the, the deep state, the people that have all this money and all those riches. What do you think is going to happen to that stuff once it's once it's taken back? It could be redistributed to the people, and get that money moving and provide the resources for us to purchase land, to buy the earth moving equipment, to buy the soil, or not to buy the soil, but to mitigate and remedy the soil and our earth and, the water barrels and the water harvesting things and the rain catchment systems and all that stuff, can be put into the infrastructure where we can stop pulling water from our aquifers. So anyway, that's for a later date. I don't want to get too much into that because that's that new, planet mechanics that I'm going to be getting into some talks as we move through these two solar eclipses. But, at the end of the day, it's a lot of learning on what we can do to put the systems in place. So like community gardens allow the community to come back together and communicate, with food, healthy food. We grow it, we learn it. And you don't just have to grow it in that plot of land that we choose, the food forest, but you can start growing it in your front yard, your backyard. In San Antonio, let's see, was it in 2013? Nope, it wasn't until 2014. Let's see, what else happened in 2013? I guess it was just a lot of learning, and then I was doing my classes at Unlimited Thought. Not until spring of 2014, did we get a chance to really integrate with our soul tribe at a transformational festival or gathering called Medicine for the People, spiritual gathering. And this was in Texas, above Houston, near Louisiana, on a Native American reservation, the Cahuta, I can't remember the name of it, but it was so long ago. But so we took the children, we had an amazing time. It was a communal kitchen. Our neighbor, just so happened to bring us a whole bunch of food from their church kitchen pantry that we took along and gave it to the communal kitchen, a bunch of lettuce and tomatoes and things like that. And we drove, I think it was like a 5-hour drive in our minivan with all the children packed in there. And we just had this absolutely beautiful, amazing time and got to commune with our tribe a little bit more. And that was the, some of the beginning stages of Guy Brown's, festival, which has now grown to, being around 700 people that attend twice a year. And I think for the last 2 or 3 times, it has been around over 600 people. And, for a week, you know, about 4 to 5 days of camping and, communing with your tribe and, you know, sitting in on healing workshops that are free and a drum circle and a, you know, cacao ceremony. And like, it's grown to this really beautiful, beautiful thing. And so being able to connect with people in the physical and hang around with them actually, creates some synergy and some activation codes, I believe, within us, to know that we're not alone and there is help, and not just help, but there's also others that are going through the same stuff. And, you know, that to me, that's help, you know. And then there's also that have been through the things that we are going through that are waiting on the other end and saying, hey, I found ways to cope, or not just cope, but I found ways to manage and know what was really going on when those things happened. Because that's really what we're doing, is we're just gaining a state of awareness that explains through our own experiences, our own perspectives, like why we have gone through something, if you're holding on to what that did to you in a negative pattern. And also explains why, how we create what we're about to go through. And it's these unconscious, half conscious, but the more you become aware of what's going on when you breathe and when you do these things, you really get to like become the being that manifests these things. And knowing that when you create more harmonic states of being within yourself through dance, through communing with your tribe, and, you know, being your authentic self, and when you speak things, that they will come back that much faster, because you're oscillating at a higher clip. Like things are spiraling back around much quicker than they were. And you're more limber, you're more loose. You're, even though I have a knot in my back, I know it's part of the process. It's allowing me to like, hey, stretch, you know, do what you need to do to take care of yourself. And so, you know, just knowing that there's this like one step back, two steps forward, and there's a dance that's happening, and not to be upset with yourself when you have an experience that isn't exactly the way you thought it was supposed to be. And my partner and I, you know, for a good part of our relationship in the beginning, especially around this time, 2013, we were in 2014, a lot of times we were not in a good state. We were arguing, we were fussing and fighting, and children were witnessing. It was not the funnest of times. It was a lot of very deep, dark dips and very, very blissful upticks of these highs that we had. And so, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, we can look back and with these new set of eyes and say, oh, wow, that's what was going on. We were learning how to integrate, you know, extreme polarities and how to breathe it in and how to calm it down and how to recognize each other and ourselves within each other and how we're maneuvering and growing. And we're also being examples for the children. Oh, wow. So how does that affect them in the long run? Oh, wow. They're going to get to witness what it looked like to be incoherent to coherency. You know, and this is in the grander, you start to see these larger loops, and I don't want to say loops, these larger cycles that we dive into. And there's a bigger cycle that we're going to get to dive into, that we get to dive really, I don't want to say go far into the future, but we get to extend ourselves really far out into the past and the future at the same time as we ride that center line. It's a huge wave that's coming with the solar eclipses that I keep, you know, hinting y'all with, but I'm going to get into some really juicy stuff as we get through this. So, let's see. And I wanted to end 2014 with, yeah, that's what I wanted to end it with. So I feel, you know, as we breezed through this, and I make recap in another episode, 2013, if anything comes out that was really significant, which I'm sure there are some things, but for sure in 2014 is when I wanted to, you know, I was tired of waiting. You know, like I said before, there were talks of the good guys turning the guns on the bad guys and, you know, I guess in a sense, someone else doing the work for us, right? And when the world didn't shift into the paradigm that I was thinking I was going to see, I got a little concerned and the notion came to me to like, holy shit, we're going to have to do this grassroots. Nobody's coming to save us. I got to start bringing awareness now. And how can I do that? And I saw an empty lot in our neighborhood and said, you know what? That would be a good place for a community garden or, man, even a food forest. Like, I wonder what the lay of the land is. Where's the high points? Where's the low points? And so I started looking into that information. And, you know, on my day off, I said, well, let me go knock on everybody's door first. It's not in front of my house. It's down the block. And, you know, it's on a corner. And so I have, you know, there's a few people on the back end of it. And there's a house on one other side of it. And it connects to like some kind of an alleyway or something. So I don't know if there's like pipes or what's going on underneath there. And it doesn't look like anybody's going to be building on this lot. And so let me just find out. So my day off, I'm walking down that part of the neighborhood, and I knock on everybody's door with a piece of paper and a pen, and I'm like, hey, would you sign off that if I put a community garden here that you'd be cool with it? Do you not like it? Do you have resources? Would you like to help? And everybody except for one person was super excited about it. I think the guy was just having a bad day. And so I take that as a huge win. And my next step is to find out if there's, and I don't know if someone had told me or what, but I find out that there's an organization in town that has helped 40 plus community gardens, or, you know, helped co-create 40 plus community gardens in San Antonio since their creation. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. Okay, so I connected to one of the ladies, Michelle Gorham. She came out to the property, looked at it, told her what I did. And I think by that time I had even, you know, my children were going to Colonial Hills Elementary School already. And so logically I was like, and I'm going to reach out to them as soon as I can get more information. If I could even do something here, because there's a lot of logical steps when you start doing this. Like, you don't want to go straight to the school and be like, hey, I want to put something in that empty lot over there. And they're like, what lot? And I'm like, that, you know, the one across the bridge down block and a half. And then they're like, okay, great. And then I find out that we can't do shit there, right? So there were logical steps that I was taking to make sure that this was done correctly. And, you know, and sometimes I get into my modes where I'm like, dude, I've really got to focus on this thing, and this is the thing that I'm doing. But I'm very well built to respond and change and be able to maneuver myself into the next thing if that one thing presents itself as like going uphill rather than like, hey, going with the flow. Rivers, I mean, if you watch them, if you look at, go on a map and look at rivers, it's very weird. You got to go to the topography really and like look and like, why did you not just go straight through there, right? And they take really meandering, like they almost touch and then they swing around, do this whole thing, and then they come back around where like they bend, like almost connects to each other. And you're like, why didn't you just go straight through? You took this whole thing. But when you show up, you find out the topography is not what you expected. And, you know, you would have been going uphill or had to burrow through a whole fucking mountain or hill or whatever it may be. And, you know, the best thing is just allow the flow to take you. And so I've been able to do that. I recognize, you know, better. That's that state of awareness, is recognizing when you are in or not in your flow. You understand? I'm trying to teach y'all some shit here, all gathered within the storytelling of these things, because it helps me to get this stuff out. But when you're in a state of awareness, it allows you to be aware of yourself to a point that when things do not align, you feel it, you know what you did, you can backtrack and be like, ooh, that's the step right there that I went, if I would have gone that way, I try to force it and look what happened. And, you know, everybody's built different. So some people are actually built to initiate and kind of push the envelope on things. Other people literally have to wait for the invitation in order to do that. And others, like myself, it's not necessarily waiting for the invitation, but when the world around me gives me something to respond to. So, you know, with, I don't even want to talk about COVID yet. We're not even there yet. So there's just things that happen in the world around you that are like, oh, detour. Oh, backs up against the wall, innovate, you know, like those are the things that I'm talking about. And so when the world didn't shift, I decided to shift. And when I had done my due diligence, talked to Michelle Gorham, Food Policy Council, had a community gardening 101 handbook now in my hand and more information, and started looking at other community gardens that they had helped and talked to some of the people, I started, you know, learning some things. And, you know, somewhere around that, in that path, I, you know, said, let's go talk to the school, because now I had gathered enough information and knew that that plot of land was open and available and run by the city. So now all I need to do is just make sure the community is going to be able to help with this. And so the school is perfect to get the city to give us the property. So now I arrange a meeting with my children's school to talk to the principal. And I'm not sure exactly how it happened, but I know at one point before I had met them, they said, well, you know what, let me make sure Coach Pitts can be here also, because we just won 20 grand from a Spurs team up challenge and we're about to build our own garden. Maybe you can help us. And, so I was like, wow, that's amazing. And yes, I would love to. My children go here and I've always wanted gardens in schools. I think that's what we should all have. And shit, they already had the money, the plot of land. They didn't have to do a lot of red tape and all these different things and whatever other stuff. They had plenty of resources, labor, manual labor that get paid by the state and, you know, the federal government money and all that other stuff. And so this is where, you know, we diverted from the food forest. I mean, I was still working on that. And, you know, walking by the property and still learning what it would take and trying to piece that together. But what happened with Colonial Hills is I became somewhat of a hub. I mean, I was there day one when we were putting soil into the raised beds and screwing the beds in and, you know, all the wood pieces together and all that stuff. I was there and, you know, offered to water the plants the first summer. And then, let's see, did do it the second summer and then brought, so by that time, meeting Michelle Gorham and the, what are they called? Wow, I forgot the name of the organization. That's crazy. So anyway, through her organization, she let me know that they were, that this other organization group in town called the Food Policy Council of San Antonio had monthly meetings. And I think there were a few people that were telling me, Harold, you're into like food and sovereignty and blah, blah, you should go there and check them out. And so by, you know, by the time she tells her, I'm like, all right, I need to go now. And so I go and talk about what I want to do, because everybody gets to introduce themselves. And I'm like, I'm a spiritual advisor. And, you know, in the house is a bunch of organizations and business people and, you know, nonprofits and schools and superintendents and, you know, sometimes a councilman or woman would come by and stuff like that. So it wasn't intimidating because I knew what I was representing and what I was here, what I'm here to do, and that we were going to win this shift, that we were going to be, I don't want to say win, but we were, that things are shifting whether we like it or not. And with my state of awareness, I knew I was going on the other end of it, the positive part of this, any kind of a shift. And that does take us to a place of having the gardens and a restructuring of our school system. And, you know, logically, we can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. So a lot of these major cities and the school systems are going to need a shift from within. We can't just take them all out of school and you think everybody's just going to know how to homeschool their children. That would not be cool. We have buildings and infrastructure and a way to, you know, feed them and stuff like that. We just need the food to come logistically closer, healthier, more nutritionally dense, and you know, just a lot of logistics and things like that can be worked out. And so San Antonio will be the proving grounds of that. So anyway, Colonial Hills Elementary School, with working with them, it didn't take too long before that school did so much more to turn themselves into the seventh healthiest school in the nation. And that was within, I think, like 2.5 years. So approached them in 2014. And by 2016, 17, they were, you know, noted as this seventh healthiest school in the nation. I think there were like three other schools in Texas that were all gunning for the same type of notoriety. And what they had to do was up the PE time, so all the cardiovascular stuff for the school. They had to get rid of all the junk food for not just the students, but also the faculty. Let's see, they did already have the garden. I don't know exactly. There were some other, there's a lot of other details that they had to get, you know, to do in order to get this status. And Coach Pitts and the principal, forget her name, so sorry. They really were a big part in this, and they went in for a grant to get a 20-foot tall water harvesting cistern. They added a solar drip irrigation, a butterfly garden. They were taking food from the garden and putting it right in the cafeteria, and it had a space that said food from the garden, like a salad. There were all these things that they had done, and I post this stuff, you know, as much as I can on my social media. So you got to kind of go back to my Facebook and see like some of the things I've posted in the past, but it's all documented there. And, you know, after working with the Food Policy Council of San Antonio, you know, inviting them into the school for a field trip, to see what they have done and what they were doing and how they were composting. And so they took that information to the superintendents of different, school districts. And so it was just like cross-pollinating, and, you know, all the while I'm doing this as a spiritual, you know, guru. You know, I'm not even like a guru. I don't even want to say that. Like a spiritual guy. I was going in there with this quantum awareness and didn't have to say all that stuff to them, but it was fascinating to hear them come to me and say like, wow, really glad someone is just here from the community that's on this wavelength. And, you know, we've been going through a lot of this and that. It's been challenge after challenge. And, you know, and then hearing them come back to me a year later and be like, wow, we've accomplished so much. It's so amazing. And not even knowing that, and not trying to take credit for it, but it does take a state of awareness that you are a multidimensional being of light zip filed into a human experience that can connect to your higher selves and allow this transference of higher frequencies to help align and balance and harmonize a plane of existence. And so we're all like cogs in a wheel, in a clock, in the grand scheme of a cosmic awareness that we all offer a beautiful part in the story. And, you know, this is the biggest part of the story, is that we're all part of the same story, and we need to recognize that we're here to work with each other and not against each other. And the synergy and the collaboration and all these things start to become such a beautiful symphony to witness. And that's what I'm here to bring. And so I'm going to end this set of the podcast with Colonial Hills and end of the Mayan calendar, what all those synchronicities and that activation brought, not too long after a complete shift in a school that is going to and has been already leading the way for others to do the same thing. And so with that, I want y'all to love always in always. Until the next episode, have a blissful day. Peace.